Book of Judges, the 16th chapter. Now we are studying about Samson and Delilah. And we began last week. We just got through a couple of verses 4 and 5. But let me begin reading in those couple of verses, and we'll read down a little way. We'll see how far we can get in this story. Judges chapter 16, look at verse number 4. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mayest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs, as a tread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said to Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. And now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then I shall be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from his arms like a thread. And Delilah said to Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I am a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength shall go from me, and I shall become weak and like another man. All right, let me just get this cordless mic on, then we'll pray and we'll get to our lesson. All right, let's pray. Here we go. Father, thank you that we can be in Sunday school this morning. Thank you that we can study the Bible. And I pray, dear God, that you'll bless your word to our hearts. Dear God, instruct us and teach us. And Lord, edify us. And Lord, may we learn those things that you'd have us to know this morning in regard to our own life as we look at the life of Samson. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name, amen. All right, as we study here the life of Samson, remember last week, we started out by telling you there's some things that are particular to Samson and Delilah here together in this passage of Scripture. And the first word that we mentioned last week was this, love. When you look here in verses 4 and 5, you see that both Samson and Delilah loved someone or something. The Bible tells you in verse number 4, it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. All right, so Samson loved Delilah. And you know, when the world thinks about that word love, they think that if love is involved, then it's something good. Well, that's not necessarily so. There are many things in the Bible tells us not to love, like love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, you see. And so there are things in even individuals that you ought not to love. And this relationship with Samson and Delilah was wrong. First of all, now, we said this last week, she lives in the Valley of Sorek. The Valley of Sorek was in close proximity to the place that Samson was from. Samson was from the city of Zora, and the Valley of Sorek was in close proximity to where he was from, but it was in the land of the Philistines. Now, we don't know for certain that Delilah was a Philistine. Both Jews and Philistines inhabited and lived in the Valley of Sorek, but in all likelihood, we can make an assessment, and it appears that she is a Philistine. If she, even if she isn't a Philistine, she's in alliance and allegiance with the Philistines because she conspires against Samson, and she has no problem in betraying him to the Philistines. She's the wrong kind of woman is what I'm trying to get across to you. In the law of Moses, God explicitly told the Jew that they were not to intermarry with women that are referred to as strangers, or they were not to marry their daughters, all right, to heathen men. And so he's in violation in regard to what the scripture says by having this relationship with her, and it was sinful. Not only was it wrong because she's not the right kind of person, they were committing sexual sin. And so you see, Samson loves someone that he ought not to have loved. You understand that? That's number one. And then we said Delilah loved something. It wasn't a someone, it was a something. And what she loved was money. The lords of the Philistines, remember we told you there are five lords of the Philistines over their five major cities, and they come to her. And in essence, what they offer her is, bribe. Each one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver if you'll find out the secret of wherein his great strength lieth. And so 1,100 pieces of silver times five, that's 5,500 pieces of silver. She's going to sell out. Remember, we told you last week that if you were to take the value of currency today and figure out what this would come to, it comes to a vast amount of money, maybe as much as $750,000. But nonetheless, she sold him out or was willing to sell him out. And so you see, they both loved someone or something, but it was wrong what each one of them loved. That's the first word. All right, we'll pick up where we kind of ended last week. Now, the second word, I already gave it to you last week, but here is what we'll talk about it now, lies. First love and then lies. Both Samson and Delilah were guilty of lying one to the other. Now, let's consider their lies for a moment. First of all, we'll consider the lies of Samson. And in regard to Samson's lies, you know what I want you to understand? They were silly. They were silly. All right? Because in regard to Samson not being honest with Delilah, he's just playing with her. He's just playing with her. All right? Consider lie number one. Well, let me read, look at verse number six. It says, and Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mayest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with seven green withes that never were dried, then I shall be weak and be as another man. All right, seven green withes. Now, when you think about that word or consider that word with, this is what a with is. All right, a withe could be a willow twig. All right, it can be a willow twig, a twig, or it could be like a bowstring, a bow on a violin or a cello or whatever. All right, those bowstrings were made from freshly picked fibers. And when those fibers were freshly picked, they were easily broken, but when they dried, they became very strong. You know, the strength of a bow, you see. And so he says, if you bind me with seven green withes, either willow twigs or these bowstrings, so to speak, all right, something that was very easily broken, he says, then I'll become weak and become as any other man. Well, that's what she does. And in verse number 8, the Bible says, then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had never been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a tread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. All right, now it talks there about he breaks these withs as a tow is broken when it's touched with the fire. The tow there, again, it's all these things are associated closely with each other. A willow twig, a freshly picked fiber that was made into a bowspring, or here, a tow. A tow was like a string of flax or a string of hemp, something that's made, you know, into some rope type of material. All right? And so if you were to put a fire to a dried out piece of fiber like that, what would happen to it? Immediately burns up. So she says, the Philistines be upon thee, and he breaks those withs like a piece of fiber having fire, you know, put to it. Immediately it's broken. All right, so that's his first lie. Lie number 2. Going on, well, verse 10 says, Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then I shall be weak and be as another man. All right, so here's his second lie. And you understand this. New ropes are very strong. You want to get some good rope, you go down to the hardware store, so forth and so on. If it's new, it's going to be strong. And Samson, ultimately, when she binds him, breaks these ropes very easily. Verse number 12 says, Delilah took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. All right, this thing about dealing with new ropes to keep Samson bound, this was not something new in regard to Samson's life or something that we haven't seen before. When you go back to chapter 15, if you look at verses 12 to 14, remember when Samson was ultimately turned over to the Philistines before he slays 1,000 with the jawbone of an ass. He's there in Judah. The men of Judah come and they bound him with new ropes. Look at 15, verse number 12. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, and surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with 2 new cords and brought him up to the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax. There's that thing like a tow. We just talked about it a moment ago. That was burnt with fire, and his hands were loosed, his bands were loosed from off his hands. And so you see this second occasion here now where Samson's he's just playing around with her. Just playing around with her. And the Bible says in regard to this second lie that he tells her, binding him with 2 new ropes. Oh, if you look down there in verse number 12, it says, and there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber. All right, a lier is not like a harp. A lier is someone who's waiting to set an ambush. So he says to her, if you bind me with 2 new ropes, or with new ropes, excuse me, he says, I'll become weak as any other man. So she binds him when he's asleep, and there's men there in the chamber close by waiting just for the opportunity to get him. That's what an ambush is. You get someone unexpectedly, right? So she says, the Philistines be upon thee. He breaks the rope like it's nothing. All right, then line number 3. Look down in verse number 13, and Delilah said to Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies." See, what are we talking about? Telling lies. She said that back in verse number 10, "Behold, thou hast told me lies." So you see, both Samson and Delilah here are guilty of not being honest one with the other. But Samson's lies are, like we said, they're just silly, stupid things. But here, look at, you continue on. He says to her in verse number 13, she says, "Tell me where thou mayest be bound." He said unto her, "If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web." And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. Now, in regard to this third lie, the thing that I'm wanting you to realize is this. Samson's getting a little bit closer to the truth, because the secret of his great strength has to do with something in regard to his hair. And so now he tells her, he makes a reference to his hair, and you know that his hair had never been cut. He'd never had a haircut in his entire life. And you understand, if someone never had a haircut, they got some long hair. And in order to be able to deal with that, it was braided into 7 locks or braids. And what he's talking about here in regard to this, what takes place, where he says to her, he says, "If thou weavest the 7 heads of my lock with the web." You know, there's an instrument that's used for making material. We call it a loom. It's a loom. And Samson tells Delilah, if his hair were interwoven with the thread of the loom. You know, you go into some type of colonial homes that, you know, years ago, back in colonial times, those looms were right there in the house. They were right there because material was made all the time. And so there's something that was close by. He says, if you take my hair and you interweave it with the thread of the loom, and there was a part of that loom that was referred to as the beam, bind it then, interweave my hair with the thread of that loom, and then bind it to the beam, tack it to the beam. He says, then I'll become weak as any other man. And so that's exactly what takes place. She does that. And again, verse number 14, she says, "The Philistines be upon thee." He awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And the result is just the same as the other two occasions. But you see, he's just playing around with her. He's lying to her, but it's just being silly. All right, but now here's the second thing. See, in every one of these aspects, love, they both love someone or something. Lies, they're both telling lies. Samson's lies were silly, but here's the thing that I want you to realize. Delilah's lies were sinister. Delilah's lies were sinister. Her lies are for the purpose of betrayal. And you'll notice her lies are found in verse number 15. And notice in regard to her lying, here's what she seeks to do. First of all, number one, she's trying to provoke him. She's wanting to get an answer from him, so she's wanting to provoke him. And the thing that she does, first of all, she claims that she doubts his love. Look at verse number 15. "And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me?" You think that this is something unique to the 21st century or the 20th century? I tell you, this little game's been being played for since the beginning of time. Now, the thing about, here's what I want you to realize. Samson's in sin. He's involved with a woman that he shouldn't have been involved with, and he's committing sexual sin, so he's in sin. And here's what I want everybody here this morning to realize. Sin makes people dumb. Get it? Sin makes people dumb.
And right here, the great champion of Israel. And he's a great champion. And he did great exploits by faith. And we saw his name in Hebrews chapter 11. But right here, Samson is a dumb bunny. Because you know what? He had this trick played on him before. He certainly should have known better. Remember when you go back to the book of Judges chapter 14, verse number 16. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, "Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. And thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me." And he said unto her, "Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee?" And ultimately he tells her. And remember, she betrays him, and she tells the riddle, the answer to the riddle, to those companions there at their wedding feast. And Samson loses the wager that he had with them. All right, but Delilah does the same thing as Samson's wife had done to him. "How canst thou say, thou lovest me," right? Now, folks, here's that little game played in the day and time in which we live. It's said like this, pretty close. If you really loved me, if you really loved me, see, if you really love me, you'll do what I want you to do. And a lot of times when a young man or a young woman says that to the other, all right, they're wanting to do them to do something that that person has doubts about or that is wrong. But you see, they play that game. That's a lie. It's a sinister lie. And that's what Delilah is doing to Samson. She plays a game with him. If you really loved me, he does love her. But then he's going to do something real stupid because sin makes people dumb. You understand? All right, so she's wanting to provoke him. She claims that she doubts his love. Then secondly, she claims that he's deceived her. Look at verse number 15, the next part of the verse. He says, "Thou hast mocked me these three times. You've been deceiving me. You haven't been telling me the truth." When in reality, you know who's the one who's deceived? Samson. He's the deceived one. She's saying, "You've deceived me," but it's Samson really that is the deceived one. Let me give you a verse of scripture. It's the first part of a verse. It's found in the book of Job, Job chapter 31, verse number 9. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. Here's what Job says. "If mine heart has been deceived by a woman." If my heart has been deceived by a woman. In just a little bit, we might get there before our time is, you know, finished. But 1,000 men couldn't kill Samson, couldn't slay him. But one woman without a weapon deceived him and took him down. Here's the third thing in regard to provoking him. Claims she doubts his love, claims he's deceived her, and then she claims he's dishonest. Look at verse number 15, the last part of the verse. It says, "And hast not told me wherewith thy great strength lieth." And again, not only is she the deceiver, she claims him to be the deceiver, but she claims him to be dishonest when it's really her that is dishonest. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 9, "Hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor." A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. 1,000 men came against Samson physically, probably with weapons and so forth and so on. They couldn't destroy him. A woman destroys him. How did she destroy him? With her mouth. With her mouth. So she sought to provoke him. All right, here's the second thing. This is how she got to find out the secret of his great strength. She pressed him every day. She pressed him every day. Look at verse number 16. It came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Now, you see the word press there in verse number 16? That word press, you find the definition of that word right in the text. All right, the word press means to urge or constrain. When you think of that word press, you think of the word what? Pressure. You press grapes. You put pressure on them to make grape juice, right? Or press apples to make apple cider, so forth and so on. And so you're putting force. She's using force on him. She's constraining him. She's pressing him. So much the so that the Bible says in verse number 16 that his soul was vexed. That word vexed means troubled. He's troubled to the point of death. And again, he should have known better. He's had this experience before. We showed you how his wife played this same game with him back in chapter 14 and regarding questioning his love. When you go back to chapter 14, verse number 17, it says this about his wife. And she wept before him the 7 days while the feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of the people. So the same game that he should have known better in regard to, that was played on him by his wife. I know it was a good time ago, 20 plus years, but still, he should have known better. But sin made him dumb. Sin made him dumb. Okay, lies. Love, first word, they're both guilty of loving something that they ought not to have. Lies, they're both liars. Now, Samson's lies, we said, were silly. But Delilah's lies were sinister. And then the third word is this, loss. Love, lies, and then loss. The tragedy of sin is that the sinner or the disobedient believer eventually has to reap. Remember what the Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so Samson has been sowing to the flesh. That's all it is. He's been sowing to the flesh, and now he's going to have to reap the harvest of that which he has sown. And it's going to be a rough harvest that he's going to have to reap. Now, his losses begin when he reveals to Delilah the secret of his strength. Look at verse number 17. Then he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak and like any other man. And so the thing you need to realize here, and get it right, because people a lot of times make a wrong statement when they're talking about this. Okay. Samson's strength is not in his hair. His strength is not in his hair. All right. His strength is in regard to the fact that he was dedicated and consecrated to God as a Nazarite. Remember, we talked about, when we started talking about Samson here and studying about him, you find the vows of a Nazarite. And remember, Samson was a Nazarite. You could be a Nazarite for any particular amount of time. Samson was a Nazarite to God his entire life, even before he was born. And remember what the Bible says in Numbers. I'll just give you the verse. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. Numbers chapter 6 and verse number 8. The Bible says, all the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. Completely dedicated, completely consecrated, completely separated to the Lord. And his long hair was a symbol that that's what he was, a Nazarite, completely consecrated to the Lord. So his strength wasn't in his hair. His strength was in his vow. You understand? That's why God blessed him with that supernatural strength. That was simply an outward sign of his consecration to God. In the New Testament, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. All right? And so you could pick out a Nazirite there in Jewish society because, oh, look at that dude. He's got a long hair. Okay? So I know what he is. He's a Nazirite because he's willing to bear reproach and shame for the Lord. You understand? Now, you see guys with long hair now, and they're not bearing any reproach for the Lord. In fact, I look at them and I say, why would you want to take care of hair like that? You know, when a guy's got a ponytail down to the middle of his back, but it's a copycat thing. It's a copycat thing. But anyways, going on. All right. Look at verse number 18 and 19. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up at this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And Samson got a haircut in verse number 19. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And so Samson gets a haircut. Now, he should have had, you know what Samson should have had done? He should have given himself a haircut. He should have given himself a haircut. Talking about a Nazirite back in Numbers chapter 6, verse number 9, it says this. Talking about if a Nazirite did something to violate his Nazirite vow, it says, and if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. Now on the seventh day, he shall shave it. All right, so if a man was a Nazirite, or a woman was a Nazirite and defiled their Nazirite vow, they're to give themselves a haircut. And you know what? You look at Samson in regard to his life. This is not the first time he defiled himself in regard to his vows to God. He should have cut his hair a long time ago. And the thing that I'm wanting you to realize is this. He should have done it himself, but because he didn't do it himself, God let Delilah do it. God let Delilah do it. What's our third word? Loss. And I'm going to stop. Everybody in the story here loses. Samson loses several things. He loses several things. His losses were physical and his losses were spiritual. Both. And Delilah loses something too. She got maybe $750,000, but she lost something more valuable than money. So next week we'll, Lord willing, pick it up and we'll talk about Samson and Delilah's losses. Let's pray. Father, simple story. Lord, it's one of those stories in the Bible where even Hollywood gets in on it. They've made movies about it. In theaters, movies about it on television. But Lord, what the world does doesn't portray the real truth in regard to all this. But Father, we're thankful that we have a Bible. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can study the Bible. And Lord, here's a hero. He's a great man. Lord, when I get to heaven, I'll look forward to the day when I can meet Samson. But God, you let his story get put in the Bible so that we would learn something from it. Lord, we're all susceptible to sin, and we're all susceptible to being dumb. But Lord, we got a Bible to teach us and show us not to make the same mistakes that even a hero made. So thank you for the scriptures. Help us to make these and take these truths to heart. We pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a break.